All right, I'd like to invite you tonight over to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 6. Matthew, chapter 6, verse 6. Matthew, chapter 6, verse 6 reads this way. It says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people and knowing that you're in our very midst. And Lord, we call upon you and ask you to bless your word tonight to our hearts and minds, that we might hear from you and that you would give us a better understanding of the salvation that you've given to us. So we ask that you bless, and we'll praise and thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply The Secret Place of Prayer, the secret place of prayer. And there's some things that we need to notice and need to take note of that the Lord was teaching his disciples when they asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John's disciples prayed." And that was because they had power with the Lord and they experienced the blessings of God. And so they were asking the Lord for instructions on how to have an effective and meaningful prayer life, an effective and a meaningful prayer life. And so there's some things that God wants us to take notice of when we approach him in this manner so that we can meet with him. And one of the things that we need to understand is that in prayer, listen, we must meet with our Father in heaven. In prayer, we need to make sure that we are going to meet with our Father in heaven. By the way, who's promised us many things, has he not? He said, I've got some things for you. And I want you to understand also that in considering this, we need to know that God is a God who hides himself from the carnal eye, or the eye of pride. He's in secret, right? You saw that, right? We read that here tonight. And so it's not an open thing. It's not an openly known thing. But God does intend for every believer to understand and to know this important truth. God wants every believer, you heard some people say, prayer warriors. Well, you'll be hard-pressed to find that in the Word of God. But God does want us to have, now that's not a wrong terminology, okay? I'm not going to say that. I guess they kind of incline an individual who's been given to prayer. But there's a reason why people are given to prayer. There's a reason why Jesus prayed. Do you believe that? There's a reason why Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights in the mount with God praying. There's a reason why that took place. There's a reason why Elijah prayed. There's a reason why Elisha prayed. There's a reason why Paul prayed. There's a reason for that, and that is that they went to meet with the Father and they understood their great need of our great God. And so we must consider that when we pray, that we must meet with our Heavenly Father. And so that needs to be the primary focal point. Also, that God is a God who hides himself from the carnal eye or from pride, and we must be willing to shut the world out to see the Father. Do you believe that? We must be willing to shut the world, and the things of the world can interfere with our meeting with the Lord and hinder that. And so we listen, how do you shut the world out ought to be the question. Well, I'm glad you asked. We need to ask God to do that for us, because we can't do that. We can't do that. And this will surprise you, but it's important. But we need to tell the Lord, we need you in a great way. And the fourth thing we need to consider is that we must ask God to bring us into this inner chamber with him. You see, we can make prayers and we could be on the outside praying. And let me give you a feeling of what being on the outside praying is, right? Being on the outside praying is feeling like your prayers don't get above the ceiling. Being on the outside feels like you pray for 5 minutes and it feels like 5 hours, right? We've all probably been there. I'll tell you, I've been there. 10 minutes, my goodness, and you thought you did some kind of great marathon feat. And that's because the Father has not been brought in by us saying, "Oh God, I am in great need. My heart is cold toward you.
My heart is calloused. I don't even understand, Lord. I need you to be real in my life. I need you to open up my heart that I might have an open communion, an open fellowship that you desire to have with me. Do you know that? Our Heavenly Father desires to meet with us. And if we understand that when we approach, you are asking him for something, of course we don't deserve it, but that he wants to give to every one of his children. And that is a vibrant relationship with him where we enjoy and get caught up in prayer and long for that. And the only way to get that is to say, I need you, God. My heart is cold and caught up in things that, not horrible things, but caught up more in the things of this world, Lord. Maybe I love this world more than I'm loving you at this moment, and I need you, Lord, to change that for me. God's not asking us to change it, but God is asking us to ask him to change it for us, and that makes a completely different experience in our time in prayer, and time gets away, which is a good thing. And so remember, I challenged you last Sunday here to just ask, just spend, I said, 5 minutes in prayer and 5 minutes in the Word of God. And then I cut it down to maybe 2 or 3 minutes of prayer and 2 or 3 minutes of the Word of God. And finally, I cut it down to 1 minute. What was I trying to do? I'm just trying to tell you, just make it a moment of prayer and a moment of time in the Word of God, asking him to bless our time together and to open up his word so that we can hear from him. And the reason for that is that we allow God to build our faith, that we allow God to cultivate a prayer life for us that we cannot do for ourselves. Listen, the reason why, well, let me ask you this question like this, and I'll tell you the reason why. But anyway, tell me, why do you think it was that Moses stayed for 40 days and 40 nights in the mount with God? It's a three-letter word. God. Because of God. That was the old, it was, oh, Moses. Oh, no. He wouldn't tell you that. He would say, oh, my God, how great thou art. Amen? How great thou, and Paul would tell us the very same thing. And Joseph would tell us the very same thing. And Abraham would tell us the very same thing. And everybody in Scripture would tell us it was because of our relationship with the Lord. So let's look at a couple of things tonight as we consider a few verses here. And first of all, we want to look at the direction for prayer. Look at verse 6 again. Ready? But thou, when thou prayest, he's speaking to his disciples. You are one of them, right? But thou, when thou prayest, listen, enter into thy closet. That is a personal place, a personal meeting place for you and God alone. It is a personal meeting place for you and God alone. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast what? Shut the door. No interruptions. Pray to who? Thy Father. See, you have to know that you are meeting with our Heavenly Father. God wants us to make sure, Jesus is wanting us to understand that we are meeting with our Heavenly Father. And notice this also, which is in secret. It's not an open thing, but it's something that he's going to reveal to you personally. This is not something that you can do as a group. This is some, you, listen, remember what I said last Sunday? I don't remember if it was in the morning or the evening message. Peter couldn't give faith or seek faith for anybody else but for himself. And so the truth is the same for you and I. I would love to be able to give what I feel about God to my family and to my church family, but God's not seen fit to do it that way. It's something that we must do for ourselves, because they that seek God must believe that he is. And so verse 6, it says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Listen to this. And who? Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It is a private thing. It is something that God does for you and you alone. It is something that God wants to do for me and for me alone. It is something that God wants to do for each one of my children, each one of your children, and them alone. It's not something that we can do for each other. This is something that God wants us to have. You remember, Jesus would get up before it was daylight, and he would get out alone and pray. And that's important. Because, listen, we need a fresh glimpse of the glory of God in our own personal life. And when I'm talking about prayer, I'm not talking about getting on our face before the Lord and rattling off some list. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about calling upon the Lord and us realizing how much we need him to make it real, that we might sense his holy presence, that we might know that we are meeting with him. Lord, I'm not coming here just to do it because I'm supposed to do this. I want to meet with you. I want to hear from you, and I want you to make that real because, Lord, I need you because my heart is desperately wicked, I believe that, and my heart is cold without you. And it's not something that I can do. I can discipline myself to pray for 10, 15, 20 minutes a day. I can even make myself do it for 30 minutes or an hour, but I want you to know it will be a grueling experience and not a pleasant one. God wants us to have a pleasant experience with him in our prayer life so that we don't make ourselves do it. We're looking forward to doing it. Again, verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father. Jesus wants us to know, to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, your Father, my Father, our Heavenly Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And right there as well, while you're on your face before the Lord seeking him, he'll reward you there, where you will enjoy and you will sense the very presence of God and just worship and just experience the Lord right there in whatever that place might be that you've set aside as your little sanctuary. It could be in the living room by your couch. It could be in your bed, anywhere. Wherever it is, but it is your place that you meet with God. Amen? Nobody's in trouble tonight. Verse 7. Be careful about vain repetition. So we have directions for prayer, vain repetitions, and our Father knows what we need. So look at verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Listen to this. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. God's not deaf. He's not deaf. Oh, you know, whatever they're saying. Hear me now. Oh, great. Hear me now. Oh, great. And you know, our Heavenly Father's going to look at that and say, what is the matter with that child? I'm not deaf. I hear everything. In fact, not only do I hear everything, but guess what? He knows everything before we ask him. It's what the Bible says. We don't have to ask him for the same thing over and over again. Now, it'd be good for us to say, God, I need you to be real in my prayer life. Do you know, listen, what do you think would happen to Northwood Baptist Church or any of the Lord's churches for that matter if every child of God in that assembly had an unbelievably vibrant prayer life where they knew they were meeting with God and enjoyed their time with the Lord and made sure nothing interfered with it because they were looking forward to it? Like when we were seeking the things out of with God when we first got saved, like newborn babes, everything was just exciting. Amen? Well, I've got news for you. God is just as exciting as he was on the first day. What happens is we get cold, not God. We get cold. And so it'd be a good idea to say, oh God, my heart is cold and my heart is prone to wander. I need you, Lord, to enter into my prayer life and make it everything that you want it to be. Because without you, it's going to be nothing. God's not asking us to do anything for him. He's asking us to ask him to do things for us. So vain repetitions, be careful. be on guard with those things. Don't just rattle off a list and think you're not meeting with God. You're rattling off a list to God. You're not experiencing your heavenly Father. You're just ritually practicing. And then listen, it's not that God won't answer those requests. But don't you want something more than just getting your needs? Don't you want an experience with your heavenly Father? That's what God wants us to have. And then lastly, our Father knows what we need. And this is important. Listen, verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, those ones that have vain repetitions, that aren't getting really anything that God, you know, would have for his children. Be not ye therefore like unto them. Listen, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Isn't that good? Isn't that amazing? Jesus uses that term again, your Father. You think Jesus wants us to know our Heavenly Father and who he is and who he wants to be in our lives? Jesus Christ opened up the door for us, amen, to enter in to the presence of God. And he's saying, listen, don't be like them. God knows what we really need. You know what we really need? You know what we really need. We need a vibrant, real, on fire prayer life with God. That's what we really need. We need to know that God, we are in his presence, and God wants us to know that. He wants us to see him when we meet with him in prayer. Now, I'm not saying physically see him, but where we experience his presence and understand that we are there and he is listening and we enjoy that fellowship. Well, let me liken it something to like this. You remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? They were cold, weren't they? Spiritually speaking, they were cold. They were downcasted. When the Lord walked up on them, what are these things that you speak of and you're so sad, he said. And as the brilliance of these two disciples, amen, I put myself right there in their shoes. What? Don't you know? Jesus, you know, he was crucified, and we thought it was him. You know, we thought he was the Messiah, the Savior. And fools and slow of heart to believe, as they're walking down the road, and the Lord, the Bible says, begins to expound unto them from all the way from the beginning throughout the scriptures about himself, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says, he made as though he would have continued going on, and they constrained him, no, stay, eat, you know, come inside. We want you inside. You think they wanted to be with the Lord? That's the kind of relationship God wants to give us in prayer. And then when he disappears after he breaks bread and disappears, and I remind you, some 5, almost 6 miles, I think, that they traveled. They went back to tell the other disciples what they had. I promise you, I don't think they were planning on going back, making that trek and going back, but Jesus made them want to go back. And they had the energy for it, the excitement. And while they were walking, you remember what they said? Did not what? Our hearts burn within us while he talked to us by the way, right? And opened up the scriptures. Did not our hearts, what was that? That was God working. That was God opening up. That was God being their excitement. That was God being their power. That was God being their understanding. That was God being their energy and excitement to go back and tell the other disciples. They didn't need anything artificial. It was all God. May we call and seek the Lord that way in our prayer life, that we don't need artificial. In other words, well, you know, it's, you know, we need to read the chapter a day to keep the devil away, and we need to, you know, make our prayers because that's what Christians do. No. God wants us to look forward to that time because we meet with our Heavenly Father. And he hears us, and we know it. Now, that's the word of God. And I want us to know something. God wants us to have that. God wants us to have that. You believe that tonight? So, let me ask you this question. I'm not trying to get you in a corner here. Will you ask God for that? Don't answer out loud. Will you ask God for that? It's between you and the Lord. That's your secret place, that you get alone with the Father and meet with Him. The secret place of prayer with your Heavenly Father, where you meet alone with Him and He comes and meets you there and excites you. Listen, Paul said, as an old saint, he pressed toward the mark. You know what he was saying? I'm still growing. I don't run this race like I've attained. I'm still pressing toward the mark. You think he was still seeking more of God? There's never a time, never a time to stop seeking our Savior. As may we seek Him until we see Him. Amen? Is, I think, what God would have us to do. And so tonight, God just reminds us that you have a place, if not make a place, in your home somewhere, that you meet with your Heavenly Father and you ask Him that you might sense His presence and enjoy His company like never before. Like never before. Don't go back and say, okay, here, I'm going to do this now. I'm going to give. Don't give God, don't make a set time. You just ask God to set your cold heart on fire, because that's what we need to ask Him for, because we are prone to be cold. That's just the way our, and He knows that. He knows already, He knows we need Him if we're going to have a prayer life. Bottom line. Is that not true? And He's saying, I'm waiting for you to ask Me. So the invitation is God's, to come and ask Him to give you what He already knows we need. And if we'll do that, watch and see. Come expecting with a little bit of faith and watch what God will do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You for Your direction and Your willingness and will, Lord, to draw us closer to You. Lord, may You instill it in all of our hearts tonight to call upon You and come expectingly, because You are truly a great and merciful God that doesn't hold anything back. And we know that because You gave us Your Son. Bless, Lord, the rest of this evening as we break off for prayer, and we'll be careful to praise You and give You all the thanks, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.